This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Would you like to know that you are free? You've been set free. We're no longer slaves. The things I used to be involved with, I could still do, but I don't have to. I'm free. I'm free. What's it like to know you are free? We talk a lot about identity here at the Underground, and it's so important. You know, when you know who you are, really know who you are, then you know how to think about things. You know the streaming thoughts that go through your mind. You know how to feel about things when they happen, when they're not happening. When you know who you are, you know how to act. You know how to behave. And what we're learning how to do is we're learning how to live out of who we are going to be forever. How cool is that? Is that cool? I think that's really cool. It's a tall order. If you want to change anything about yourself at all, then you must take a hard look at identity. You know, I get the opportunity to sit with a lot of people and really enter what I call holy ground when I get to enter their story. And one of the things we're after is to hear that I am statement that they're making about themselves, what they're truly believing about who they are. What's the deepest, truest I am statement that your heart really believes? And we hear some painful ones. You know, they usually go along the lines of the theme of I am worth less in some way. That's painful, right? I am unlovable. I am broken. Or I am shame. You know, we hear lots of I am statements like that. You know, or their worth is attached to something that is being threatened in some way. You know, a relationship or some kind of job title or possessions, some event. And it's really painful to watch that because whatever our worth is attached to, especially when it's things of this world, you know, we want to control that. And we are controlled by it because our worth's attached to it. And we also develop strategies around how to live with a painful identity, a painful I am statement. Heard a really, really tough story this last week of a lady who, she was raised by her single mom, and, you know, her mom was constantly telling her some really negative statements, and no one's ever going to love you, no one's ever going to commit to you, and just look at you. You know, that was one of her big cut downs, just look at you. And as a little girl, she looked at her mom and said, but do you love me? And the mom's answer was, how can I? You know, how can I? And this girl ended up growing up to develop a really intense eating disorder. And she would wait till her mom was asleep, and she would get up at night and go down to the fridge and load up a plate, find her way back to her bed, and then she would pretend that someone else was feeding her, that a loving presence was feeding her, stroking her head, and while she was being fed by this loving presence, was telling her these wonderful, loving words. That's painful stuff. And it turned into a huge eating addiction. You know, and as painful as that is, how many of us can relate to that in some way where we create a reality that's soothing, that's comforting, that's loving and nurturing? And we have a powerful drive to protect ourselves. you know, unless a person accesses these feelings, unless they are willing to go there, really access this place, like this girl was willing to do, then we end up living in trance like she lived. And when I say trance, what I mean is the trance of an eating disorder, the trance of food, the trance of any kind of addiction or soothing behavior. A lot of these kind of temporary hits of pleasure come from food and work, sex, media. And when we do these in a repeated way, they really cause us harm and definitely cause our relationships harm. And we get in these loops and these habits, and we do it on a level where we don't even sense the cues anymore to do it. You know, we just go right into it. Tough stuff. A couple of the really powerful things to note about how to get traction, like real traction out of this kind of stuff. You know, how do you get traction out of this? Two things. One, God gives you a brand new identity. That's really good news. He gives you a new identity, a new I am statement. And the second thing is, we have a plastic brain. How cool is that? We can rewire these loops. We can rewire our thinking. We can rewire these I am statements. There's a thing called the gospel. It's absolutely powerful. This monumental event, guys, so profound, it would turn the whole world upside down. Such a powerful event that we actually measure time by this event, our calendar, by this incredible event called the cross and the resurrection. And we talk about that. We talk about the gospel, which is far more than the removal of sins. It's also the download of the resurrection, that new identity that God gives us. And there's two sides of the cross, the death, but the resurrection. And we talk a lot here about what the gospel actually means to you and me personally. You guys know that God himself has a very healthy identity in himself. Did you guys know that? You ever think about that? Think about the I am statements that God has about himself. And think about that for a little bit even. You know, study that. You know, he is provider. He is a shield. He is the Ancient of Days. He says, I am that I am. Like, he has a powerful identity, and he has actually adopted you into himself. You are now mine. You are now what I am as my sons and daughters. This is really cool stuff, huh? Christianity, you know, we talk a lot about faith. Faith is monumental in Christianity. Huge stuff, huge topic. It's impossible to please God without faith. We hear all those kinds of things. True stuff. But what I'm talking about is what we're having faith in, what we're believing in. We're believing him for a new identity. We're believing in him every day that he has made me secure in his love. He has made me significant in his plan. Like, this is what I'm walking in. This is my faith every single day. I'm believing him for this. And so what we see as believers is two lifestyles emerge for us as believers. I'm going to just assume that we're all believers here tonight. And we have two lifestyles before us. One of faith and one of unbelief, which we go into, you know, both at times. You know, I most certainly do. Faith in the fact that I am his son. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Faith in the fact that there are no coincidences in a child of God. None. There is no Hebrew word for coincidence. Did you know that? Doesn't even exist. Pretty cool stuff. I was reading an interesting anthropology study this week. It was saying how we are never more than 7 people removed from every person on the planet. Super interesting, you know? You just think about that. Like, my wife works at a hotel, and she met some people this week, knows them, is now friends with them, and they come from the States, and they know some missionaries and people all over America. They travel a lot. Okay, that's just like what, three levels in? You see what I'm saying? You just start going levels deep into who you know, and we discover very quickly that every decision my wife makes, big or small, affects every human being on the planet, which is so much of God's heart, of what he wants us to know. He wants us so desperately to know how connected we really are, that I can't hurt me without hurting you. And you can't hurt you without it hurting me. We are deeply connected together as a human race, all of us on the planet. And to know, like, you, if you don't know it now, you're going to know it when you leave this body. You're going to know it instantly, that every single thing you do affects every single human being. What a profound thing to know. Amazing stuff. I love being God's son. I love looking out, seeing the sons and daughters of God and wondering, do they know how powerful they are? Do they know what they have within them, the DNA we carry? The scripture says in Romans 6, not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body, Stan. Don't let your members become instruments of unrighteousness, right? You know, a really cool way to understand that is sin is directly connected to unbelief. When we do not believe God, he is who he says he is. And you are who he says you are. When we don't believe that, that's unbelief. When I go into unbelief, I'm letting sin reign in my mortal body. And what happens when sin reigns in this mortal body? When I don't believe I really am loved and I really am important, when I go into unbelief, then sin reigns, and then sins, plural, happens out of me. And my members become instruments of unrighteousness. That's why he says, don't let sin reign. Don't let unbelief reign in your body. He says, instead, yield yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead. Crazy stuff. Now, I don't know about you. In my journey of overcoming needles, crack addiction, pornography, you know, all the meth and all these horrible things, I tried desperately to yield myself to God. You know, just like saying, yield yourself to God, right? We see people doing that. Going to the altar call, trying to yield myself to God. Going to a 30-day program, a 9-month program, trying to yield myself to God. Going to the pastor into his office, trying to yield myself to God. And I know that we are oftentimes led to do those things. That's powerful. Good stuff. However, the scripture tells us how to yield ourselves to God. It says, yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. And that's the part I was missing all along. I was missing the part of believing the gospel that I died with Christ. The old me was crucified and buried, and a brand new Stan that's never walked this planet, joined with Christ, has been raised, and I am a brand new creation. That's yielding yourself to God as one who is alive from the dead. Now, do I still carry the old wiring, the old flesh, the old tendencies and habits? Of course I do. And they are going to pester me till I lay this body down. They're going to be a pain in the rear, no doubt about it. But in God's vision of me, says I'm dead to sin and alive to God. In God's eyes, he has separated me from my sin. He says I'm dead to sin. That means death means separation. I died to it. This is just a husk. It's just an old remnant of me, and it is good as gone, and it's going to pester me, but it is good as gone, and I can walk in truth. If I walk in unbelief, which I do at times, you know, we can all leave here and go, man, maybe for a moment I believed I was the son. I felt it in the worship. Or we can wake up tomorrow morning, or we can leave here tonight and go, maybe I'm not really who that guy was saying I am. Maybe I'm not really God's son or God's daughter. And we can go right into unbelief. You know, I do it all the time, catch myself all the time, falling into unbelief. And when we do that, it's painful. And we fall into what I call trance. Going into trance. The trance is where we go into, you know, food. You know, I fall into these ways of dealing with the pain I carry. I fall into the trance of work, of hiding or numbing or distracting myself, falling into trance. Many people live their entire lives into trance. You know, can we notice this week when we fall into trance? Let me take a minute here and show you this. Something I've been doing with some people. I'll do a deeper breakdown of this in later sessions. I'll just kind of show you these three chairs. I was talking to Kevin about this earlier. But here we have our child chair. And this is where, you know, I'm needy. You know, Jesus says, you know, to come to him like a little child, right? We need to be like little children, right? And that means I need love, guys. I need love. I need acceptance. And as much as, even though I'm a grown man here, right, I have these needs. I need to know I'm important. You know, I need. And I can come to him like a child. Like I have this child part in me. This is the child chair. When I feel unloved, or I don't feel important, then I move over into this chair. This would be the adolescent chair, the teenage chair. Some of our training, we call this the protective personality, where the child part feels unloved and very vulnerable. So this teenage rebellious part steps forward and says, forget feeling unloved. We're going to eat. Forget feeling unloved. You know, I'm going to go on media and I'm just going to go into trance. You know, you ever see a teenager that's just deciding, this is what I'm going to do? And if you go up to him and ask about this part, do you feel unloved? What are they going to do, right? You're going to get some harsh, get away from me, I'm fine, like, leave me alone. My problem's you. And you're going to get this rebellious teenage part. My rebellious teenage part loves meth and crack and all these drugs and all these problems that cause me legal problems. But not all problems are like that. Some, you know, rebellious teenage parts shut down and get real quiet and wall off, right? So we all manifest this part of us different. So we have this child chair where I need things. I have these genuine needs, very vulnerable part of me, and I'm coming out. I need love. I need all this stuff. And this part steps forward and says, you know, I'm not going to feel these feelings. There's no way. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to make sure you're numbed and distracted. You're hiding or proving in this chair. But then the good news, sons and daughters of God, we have this adult chair. This highest place we sit. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. I have an identity in Christ that's not afraid of feeling, that can sit with negative emotions, negative circumstances all day long, because it is the Spirit and it is joined with the Spirit of God. And I can sit here and speak truth about the rejection that's going on, situation that's happening. Like one lady said, you know, she felt really vulnerable because they're firing a lot of people at her job, and I just know I'm going to get fired. I'm next. There's no doubt about it. And so she's going to go around doing a survey and manipulating people, trying to get other people on the chopping block, and she's acting out of this teenage part. Like, let's move over to the adult chair. What does the adult chair say? What's the facts in this place? Well, what's happening is they're cutting back at this job. That's the fact. Like, that's it. Like, that's the reality of it. They're making cutbacks. That's all you know. That's the facts. And in this place, you know, God's my maker. He's my supplier, my provider. He's going to lead the way. This is where I sit, right? So we can sit in this adult chair and overcome. And the idea is eventually, through a process, you know, this teenage part that causes all this trouble, you know, scoots back. And this part of me says, you know, Stan, feeling pretty rejected, feeling unloved, right? When you look in the mirror, seeing this hair going away, how's that making you feel, dude? You're okay, buddy. You're all right, buddy. Get over here, right? Me and you are going to be just fine, right? You know why? This is who you are. This is who you are. And you get to be that for all eternity. Right? Anyway, this is the three chairs. Some really cool work. There's other ways of presenting this. We've done this with some other processes. Pretty cool stuff. So this week, I guess my challenge to you guys is to just notice when you feel the trance call. Notice when you feel that pull towards the food or the media or whatever it is, to go into trance and to numb out, to hide, to distract from feeling whatever this is in this chair. Can you just notice? Is it when you're alone? Is it in the evening? Is it when you feel really vulnerable around people? And then can you create a space from this place, this higher place, just a little space? You know, I'm not asking you to take on the whole thing. I'm just saying, can you create a little space to recognize, I feel a pull, feel the trance calling me, like I'm feeling that. And just know what it's like for a moment to sit in this place. This space you create can get real big, right? In this chair of trance, in the chair of trance and cravings and all those things, life can get really, really small. My life got as small as a pill. That's how big my life got, where my whole life came down to one pill or one crack rock. That's how big my life was. When you can create a space in this adult chair, and it's big boy stuff, sons of God stuff, this is where your power will come. This is where wisdom will come. This is the bad lands of spirituality, guys. This is the stuff, man, where you embrace those emotions and you're not afraid to feel. Like, come on. Feel unloved? Feel it. Sit in this place. Sit with the Lord. And watch what he does. You will emerge into a very pleasant place eventually as you walk and sit in this place. So can you this week notice when the hook comes, when that trance calls you? Can you create a space? Can you notice the I am statement that's coming out of you? I am unloved. I am alone. I am worth less in some way. Can you just recognize it? Can you then bring other people into what's going on, the dynamic that I'm talking about? How your trance calls you, what that hook's about. Can you just bring someone else in? You just sit and say, hey, let me share with you my trance, what it looks like, what my I am statement is. Let me just bring you in and just kind of tell you, as soon as you bring someone else in, the stress of it will drop and the shame of it will drop, because you will discover very quickly you're not alone in it. No matter how weird my trances are, and some of them have been pretty weird, there's a whole lot of people that are doing the same things. Caught in the same trance. Like, we're all people. We all need these same things. You know, really quick, guys. A couple years ago, I went through this really painful rejection. A family member that really, really, I was really after their love and affection and wanted their attention. I just wanted to be something to them so bad. A little too bad. And I began to attach my worth to how they felt about me. You know, sneaky stuff. I really, really put myself out there, made myself real vulnerable to this person. And this was years, right? And this person hurt me so bad. I mean, said some really cruel stuff. And I was hurting, guys. Okay? And I got to sit in this adult chair in a ton of pain. You know, God, this hurts terrible bad. I began creating a space, me and God. Just like the Psalms, pouring out. Man, I'm hurting terrible bad. I mean, I'm really feeling it. Like, I'm really feeling it. Like, I'm really hurt. Like, this really hurts, right? I just sat with him. I spent a weekend out at the property in a tent here a couple winters ago and just walked and talked to him about it. I was hurting, guys. I was reeling, right? And it's like creating this space where just me and the Lord were talking. I'm looking out at the stars, and it was like, so Stan, what would you have to hear from this person that if you heard this from them, all of a sudden you'd be in this great place? And what would it be? What would they say? It would just turn you around. And I was like, wow. So I was like, well, if they said, I love you, I'm really glad that you're here, Stan, in our lives. And then if they said, you work so hard at this, I'm so glad you work so hard at this. And then, you know, I'm so proud of you. Right? If they said that to me, like they just pulled up in a car and said that to me, I would be dancing under the stars. Right? And then guess what came to me? Stan, guess what? I love you. I'm so glad you're here. You work so hard at this. I am so proud of you. I am so crazy about you. Stan, you're the flipping bomb. I didn't need to wait to do my dance. Like, I got my dance with God. I would have never got it had I not created a space and felt those feelings. If I would have went right to YouTube, went right to pills, went right to numbing, distracting, hiding, proving, I would have never got that amazing rewire moment, like, whoa, I can come to you and get my needs met. Cool stuff. Recognize when the hook comes, when the trance pulls. That's a good one. If we can all do that, yes, right? Bring others into it. I most certainly shared that with a lot of people in that whole painful journey. And then a lot of reps, guys. That had to happen a lot. It took a lot of reps for me to become what I was as an addict and this guy I was. It's going to take reps and reps and reps of doing this, yielding myself to God in faith, not walking in unbelief, not letting sin reign in this body, but faith in who he says I am. Powerful, powerful stuff. You know, guys, isn't it cool how artists can take suffering and pain and loss and create these incredible works of art and music and passion? Don't we love that? That's what God would do within you. I hated myself so much, I couldn't spend any time in here without wanting to get out of there, numb or distract myself as fast as possible. Now, I walk around in here and go, hey, I like what you've done with the place. This is pretty nice. I think I'll hang out in here for a while. It's not a place I want to run from anymore or escape or numb or drug. It's a place that me and the Lord love to hang out. And I'm here a lot. I really like it. So, a 15-minute examine at the end of the day. What are you grateful for? Rewire your brain to see gratitude. All the amazing things God has done. Right? When Morgan was singing, I was just blown away, seeing my own journey like a movie. And I want you to know, I don't look so good in that movie, but I want you to know, God looks amazing. He is the hero of my story. I love what he's done with my life. Gratitude. When did I miss you, God, today? When did I miss it? When did I go into trance? When did I miss you when you were calling me to sit in that adult chair? When did I get it right? Right? So gratitude, when did I miss you? When did I go into trance? When did I get it right? When were we walking in tandem? Yes. When was I walking in faith that I'm a son and have the ability to love others because it's not about me anymore, right? So the key here is walking in awareness, and we're training our brains to walk as sons and daughters of God. I'll pick up from here next week, and we'll just keep right on rolling. Thank you, guys.